Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and get started because it's my goal to finish maybe a couple minutes early because we have a video session in here next hour that I'm also a part of, and we need to do a little setup for that. So thanks for being here at the conference. I'm Jeremy Lofgren. I lead our graphics and technology teams here. I get to work with get the privilege to serve the Lord and serve Him here with a great team of people. And we're going to talk today about using media and different forms of media to promote some church events. So come on in. We're just getting started. So we will we'll have a word of prayer and then jump into the material, and I hope it'll be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. I pray that you would help us in this session to gain some insight or some practical tools that maybe will help us to more effectively and efficiently serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have, come on in, guys, because we are just getting started. We're just going to jump into this. It could be. It depends on how the question and answers go at the end, kind of what direction that goes to. Man, we got a few people coming in. So we're going to talk through using media to promote some events, and just to kind of give you where we're going. I'm going to give you some tools and some. Really some procedure that we use to help us accomplish the task. Everyone that I talk to in church media has more to do than can possibly be done, so we're all kind of in the same boat, under the gun, and everybody, you know, I doubt anyone here is just from the church that plans, you know, 24 months in advance, and they've got the flyers and stuff, brochures printed in a box just sitting and waiting for the event to arrive. We all have busy schedules in our churches, and how do we help to promote those major events? So, I'm going to give you some things that we do. We're not the experts. I promise. If you come next year and I teach on these procedures, they'll be different because we're changing them all the time. We're trying to sharpen and grow and try new things to help us to be more efficient. And then I'm going to talk about. Primarily about our Easter services and outreaches here at Lancaster Baptist Church as kind of a case study, and how we used our media department to help promote that event, because that encompassed a lot of media, and you won't use all of the media for each event. We don't use all of the media for each event, but maybe an idea that gets thrown out. Will be helpful. So let's jump into this. So how do you use media to promote church events? We all have events, outreach events, in-reach, internal events. How do you get the media? When I'm talking about media, I'm talking about print pieces, video pieces, web, you know, social media, all kinds of media collateral pieces. How do you use all of that together to help you get the job done, help you to communicate and promote an event. First thing, and this is super, super simple, okay, is to identify your events. Identify your events, okay? What events are going to need promotion? And identify them early and start thinking through them. I'll jump into kind of our planning process and early planning in a minute. And when you're trying to identify your events, which events need promotion, I think it's also really important and something that sometimes can be overlooked, but identify your promotional direction, okay? And by that, I mean there's a lot of events that are outreach or external events where you're inviting, you know, your community to come to, you know, Easter or an open house or whatever it is. There's a lot of internal events where you're promoting an event to your church family. Okay, we have a Men and Boys Camp Out that's primarily for men in from our church. And there's, you know, we all have kind of both sides of that. Almost every event will have at least some aspect of internal as well as external. Okay, so even your external events, you have to think through what are we communicating externally, and then what do we need to communicate internally. An example of that would be like our Love Works project. That's where we need the T-shirts and the signs and the tracts and cards that we're going to hand out as we hand out coffee at commuter lots or all of that stuff. That's all external. Internally, we need to tell our people how are they going to sign up and how are they going to be sign up and where are they going to meet and register. Those are internal communications. You got to use media communication to get your ideas out there early enough for people to act on them. Next, plan in advance for major events. I'm a slow learner, but by about the third year here on a staff, I figured out that Easter comes every year. And it does. Now Easter's tricky because it moves around, and you got to look at the calendar, okay? But Easter, Christmas, it's there. It's December. It's because and it's coming every year. And I started to figure out maybe I shouldn't get surprised by Easter every year. Maybe I could do something proactive to help me in those areas. So I want to show you a few tools that I've developed and I use that are really, without doing these things, we would just, our team would just kind of fall apart and not be able to produce what we need. So here's some things that I do and we do as a team to help plan in advance. First thing I do is do an annual planner. And here, you know, Pastor Chapel's big on planning. You've probably figured that out by now. And he actually has all of us on the leadership team print this out and stand before the entire leadership team once a year and present it. But to be honest, I started doing this for myself before it was a part of even that exercise. So, for instance, as a part of that, I'm thinking through, I'm going through and implementing what I just said. I'm going through the church calendar, what's going to come. And I do this in end of October timeframe, and I look at the following year's calendar. Okay, Easter falls on this date. That means we're probably going to want to have brochures 3 weeks out. That means we probably need to send the print 4 weeks out. That means I need to start on them, you know, and come up with those dates. So I look at the print pieces we need. I look at the websites. When does Easter need to go up on the church website? When does it need to come down? Same with Christmas or open house or all of those type events. And then we kind of put these together in a spreadsheet form. So this is a screenshot that I just grabbed. This is our church website from January to April, and kind of the main. Each of these is 1 week. Those are Sunday's dates. So on this week, the week of the 15th, I know I should have Easter Leadership Conference and the Walther Center on the homepage. Those are our primary promotions on the homepage of the church site. And does that change a lot through the year? Yeah, for sure it does. Because stuff comes up, events move and change. And all of that, these aren't, so there's some flexibility here. But for each week, if I haven't been told otherwise, okay, I at least have a plan for each week of the year. And I think this will help to put at ease some of the other departments and areas of the church. If the children's ministry knows that I'm already planning to promote Vacation Bible School at a certain date, and I'll typically, as I'm working through this plan, I'll try to work with the different members of the different departments, children's or outreach or whatever, so that they know, hey, you know, they're going to get it, and that kind of helps to set them at ease. This is a spreadsheet of print pieces. Okay, so the previous spreadsheet was the church homepage promotions. This is a spreadsheet of every print piece that I know is coming. So when I go through that calendar and I go, okay, Easter is this date, and what printed materials are we going to need at Easter? We usually, you know, I can usually come up with 5 or 6 for each event. And as you do this, the good thing is the following year, you have a list of stuff, and you can go, okay, yeah, we need that every year. Oh, that was just the one time. And I'll usually come up with 150 to 200 print pieces for the year. That has historically been about half of what we actually do, but it is at least half. I've had people tell me, well, you know, I'll never think of all the stuff. And yeah, you know, you're right. You won't think of everything, but at least you'll think of half of them. If you're even better, you might think of 75% of them. If you think of one of them, you're better off than thinking of none of them. So each of these printed pieces have 3 dates. They have a start date, an at print date, and an in hand date. And this is, you might have a better system, and that's great. This is what we've been doing. We always start with the in hand date. Okay, when do we actually need to have this in our possession to do something with? Okay, and if that is the case, then when do they need to go to print? You know, it's typically a week or, you know, 2 weeks, depending on how big the project is. And then a start date. And for us, a start date has been, when are we going to ask the questions? Okay, so let's take missions conference brochure needs to go to print on the 14th. So we're going to give ourselves 2 weeks. So on by October 1st, I need to ask Brother Furso, who are the missionaries? What is the schedule? What needs to go into the brochure? What are the locations, costs, dates, times, all that stuff that needs to go in? So I have this trigger as a start date to start asking those questions, because typically, you know, especially in print, you need lead time, right? So if you're waiting for somebody else, you know, they're thinking of it the day that they want to hand out a postcard is the day that they think, you know, of the dates and times and locations and costs and speakers and all that stuff. So you got to prompt. Evidently, you guys don't have that problem. But here we have to prompt people and ask them for that. Another thing that we do that kind of all three of these interrelate is those Sunday Up Next announcement videos. And some churches are doing them, some aren't, but I'll show you this. If you find it helpful, fine. If not, rest or whatever. This is again each Sunday of the year, and what is going to go on the announcements for each year. And I keep this... most of this I keep in Google Docs, and we update it constantly. So somebody sends me an email that says, hey, at the last 2 Sundays of June, we're going to do this thing, and we want it in the, you know, up next for 2 weeks. I'll go, sure, and I'll go put that on this spreadsheet. And beginning of the week, each week, I pull that up and look at what's supposed to be on up next for the conference announcements. We do very similar it's almost identical for just the bulletin. Okay, what announcements go in, at what times in the bulletin helps us to keep track.
I noticed that you like shaded out the ones that already happened.
Yeah, I go through each week and take out the ones that. Yeah. So this is a couple weeks old. This screenshot I got. From there, those are all kind of longer term, like early stage planning about what we're going to do. When we actually go on print projects on that start date, when we're actually ready to start working on it, we've been using a product called LeanKit. And this is a screenshot I grabbed of Linkit right now. And this is, I could pull it. Basically, you add projects and it has these different lanes. These are defined. That means we're waiting on information for these things. So we have this LBS magazine that we're supposed to work on. It's a promotion for the school. We're not really sure what goes in that yet, so I got to meet with the school administration and figure out what that is. So that's still in define. This stuff right here is being designed. It's being worked on right now, and these can be really big projects or really, super small. We've got the point menu that we're working on designing. That's for the restaurant. Once something's kind of designed and sent off to somebody for approval, that goes into the approval process and revisions and a print. And this is all customizable. You can make the lanes and divisions, however you want. And each one of those, you can pop them open and add a deadline. You can add notes and those kind of things. That's LeanKit, leankit.com, Lean, LEANKIT. We use their free version. They have a paid version that has some really nice features, but it was pretty expensive, at least for us, and so we're just maxing out the free version right now. Yeah.
Does the actual file of the actual project go into that?
No, this is just data for the project. A lot of times if somebody sends an email, like there's probably, if we double-click that, there's probably an email copy and pasted into the notes into there about what it's about, so that we don't look and go, magazine, what is that about? But the files are not. We store our files on a local file server here that everybody has access to. That's how we deal with
does
files.
Does LeanKit have any integrations or API?
I'm not sure. I think they do. I think I remember seeing that, but we're not using any, at least not right now. So that's kind of I understand that's not super inspiring, and it's like after lunch, and it's like, okay, a lot of spreadsheets and stuff. So let's look at actual kind of putting this into practice. Developing and implementing event branding. It's important for each event, and the bigger the event, the more important it is to develop a branding for each event. So what I mean by that is a unified look of artwork, font choices, and colors that you're going to use to promote that event to your community or to your church or both. So let's jump in and look at, it's just kind of a use case, and our pastor met with our leadership team early this year and said, hey, at Easter, let's pull out all the stops, let's go full court, let's put resources into this, let's promote everything that we can and really have a great Easter weekend services. So we got to do a lot of things that we had never done before, and one of our first pieces, though, was to develop this event branding. One of the first things that we did, and this is a postcard that we handed out in January at our vision night that just said Easter at Lancaster Baptist Church. It had that information on it because that's all the information that we had at that point. We hadn't settled on service schedule. We hadn't settled on locations or times or anything like that. We knew we wanted to do it big. So we handed out this postcard and just encouraged our church family to invite, friends and family members that are in the area. We have people that have family that live in down Los Angeles or whatever and say, hey, it was a postcard that we just encouraged. It was blank on the back, and we encouraged our church family to take a minute and invite their friends and relatives early on, okay? This was a bit of a rushed job because it had to go to print, and we wanted to hand it out at Vision Night, and we weren't finished with the branding. We worked on the branding for a little bit, and we came up with, and this is where we settled, is this Easter at Lancaster Baptist Church. And you can see it's similar. It has some kind of the similar feel and color scheme and so forth. But this branding that we settled on, we wanted it to be super bright, celebratory, kind of very happy feeling. And that became our branding. And then everything that we did to promote Easter reflected or incorporated this branding. Okay, so let me Let me show you a few pieces that we did. First, this became the cover of our brochure. I have a few pieces here. This is the cover of the Easter. This is the Easter brochure that we took out. So you can see basically that branding stays consistent throughout the brochures, that colors and so forth. This was a multi-page brochure that we took to every home in the Antelope Valley. Let me walk you through some of the print pieces we did. In the past, we had done like a community newsletter that was about the size of the thing that you received when you came in this morning, the daily papers, that size. We've done those and mailed them. We decided since we're going to every home in the Antelope Valley anyway, we wouldn't do that. So that's why we ended up with this piece this is a little longer and more, had a lot more stuff in it than our typical track did. But we ended up with that. But because that was pretty large, we ended up making some business cards for our church families that they could just carry with them. Because this is, you know, hard to tuck in your shirt pocket when you go into Starbucks. So we made these little business cards. Again, same branding. So pretty much if you handed out this to someone in the Antelope Valley, they probably have gotten one of these at least once on their door, and now they're starting to put it together, and it starts to feel like a major event. Another thing that we did that was pretty cool and fairly inexpensive, we did car stickers, bumper like window stickers, and these are the kind, they're not adhesive. They work by magic powers. I don't know how they work. You just stick them on, they peel off, and don't leave a mess on the car. We asked all of our members to put those on as they drove around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we created the artwork in Photoshop, and then the layouts and stuff are done in InDesign. We did, and this is another good idea that's pretty cheap. We created these posters, and we went to businesses to put these, ask them to put the posters in the windows. And I think a lot of them, if they did, especially like restaurants and stuff, we listed them as almost like advertisement in the bulletin. Like, we'd like to thank the following restaurants in the Antelope Valley for supporting our event or whatever. It's free for them. These are pretty cheap. I mean, you can print these for 50 cents probably a piece or something like that. And again, so it's the same consistent branding, artwork, and fonts and colors and so forth. So we created this whole print package. Then we created some video pieces. Let me show you a couple of these. This is one that we created, and we did a couple of things with it. It went on our website on the which I'll show you in a minute. We played it. We actually bought some television spots on the local cable station. We actually ran these in theaters in the Antelope Valley, and that was actually a pretty big win because it was pretty inexpensive, and it reached. We got a report. It reached. I want to say that it ran for 2 weeks, and it caught like 200,000 people, which is it caught like 300,000, which is a great majority of the adult population in the Antelope Valley. So we did one of these. This is just a 30-second spot, but you can see we used the. Oh, hang on. Evidently, I'm live streaming. Whatever was on in the auditorium there. All right, sorry about that. What I'm saying is pretty boring. We can just listen to that. Is it going?
If Easter tells us anything, it tells us that Jesus Christ loves us and that he wants us to be with him. The garden tomb of Jesus is known for one simple fact, and that fact, my friends, is that it is empty this morning. Jesus Christ is not there. He is alive, as he said.
So we created that. It's 30 seconds. And again, if you're not going to run it, run something on television or in theaters, post it online. We encourage people to share it on Facebook and Twitter with their friends, email it, and so forth. That's one of the pieces that we did. Some of the other video assets that we created for Easter, and I talked about this earlier, you got to consider the direction of your promotion. Obviously, Easter was a huge outreach promotion, but we had to communicate to our church what was going on and how to get a part of it, or you know, nothing was going to happen. If we weren't going to get our own people on board, then you know, all the Easter eggs that we stuck with candy were just going to melt out in the sun. So we ran a couple segments in Up Next, and again, with consistent branding, and tried to explain and inspire people to get on board. So I'll show you a couple of these.
We are excited to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter weekend in just 2 weeks. Pray with us that God will use us to impact our community like never before. For the first time, we're going to have a Good Friday service at 7 o'clock right here in the main auditorium. Then on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock will be our first presentation of the musical, Oh Glorious Day. And on Sunday morning at 6 a.m., we're going to be hosting a sunrise service at Quartz Hill High School. Let's pray that many from the west side will come and be our guests. And then at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, another presentation of Oh Glorious Day, followed by family portraits for every first-time visiting family and an Easter egg hunt for all of the children to enjoy. As we prepare for this weekend, there's two key parts that we want our church family to be involved in. Number one, that we would all be here on Saturday, March 28th, for the Capture the Valley Day. At 8:45, we'll meet in the Student Life Center for breakfast, and then in the main auditorium at 9:30 to receive a quick challenge, a partner, a map, and some tracks, and then go out and invite people to be our guest. Secondly, stop by the kiosk in the West Wing Lobby and find an area where you would like to volunteer. We need hundreds of people's help to make this weekend a reality. Let's pray and ask God to use us to impact this valley like never before as we prepare for Easter.
Okay, so the point of that was to give our church family, A, an understanding. That was a service schedule that we had never tried before. We were doing a lot of different venues and services trying to reach our valley for Christ. Secondly, it gave them some talking points about the family photos and the Easter egg hunt. And thirdly, it told them, basically gave them a call to action, how they can be involved. Okay, come out on Saturday and stop by the service, stop by the lobby and sign up and volunteer to be a part. And we had thousands of people that we needed to man booths and greet and all kinds of stuff. So that was 2 weeks prior. The week prior,
we're excited 1 week from today
we
to
ran
celebrate
this.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ right here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. Let's pray together as a church family that God will impress upon the heart of everyone in whom we have invited to come be our guest. Now, right behind me is the front doors for the weekend here in the West Wing. We're looking forward to rolling out the red carpet, having the tent, and all of our tour guides ready to greet first-time guests and to show them around the campus. We'll begin that on Friday night at 7 o'clock for our Good Friday service. Then Saturday night at 6 o'clock for the first presentation of Glorious Day. Then Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 right here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist. Pray also for the sunrise service at 6 a.m. at Quartz Hill High School. We're praying that many from the west side would come and hear the wonderful message of the risen Savior. I want to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, parking. We need your help to make sure that we have plenty of parking for our guests. Everything from the West Wing to the Walther Center, between the dormitories and 40th Street East, we are wanting to reserve for our guests that are coming for Easter weekend. So if you're a member of Lancaster Baptist, help us by parking on the other side of the North Auditorium by the modulars or out by the Student Life Center. It's a little bit further of a walk, but it'll be a beautiful day, and we so appreciate your help. And then as you come and attend these exciting services, be on the lookout for people in whom you don't recognize and see if there's any way you can be of help to them. We'll have 8 guest welcome tables in the lobbies. You can take them there. We're also excited for everyone to enjoy the Easter egg hunt down on the baseball fields and every first-time visiting family to receive a free family portrait. And you can bring them right here. We'll have a kiosk set up, and we'll take care of them from here. Thank you for all of the work that you've put into this. Let's pray and ask God to use us in a mighty way next weekend.
Okay, so those are a few illustrations. One's very external facing, you know, and inspiring. Come hear about Easter. The other one had a lot more information, but a lot of this worked together to really get our church family very excited and to buy in, which is really, I mean, half the battle to creating a really positive event is getting your church family excited and buying in and being a part. Then we created, obviously, a page on the website. We'll go over this quickly, basically, that matched the branding, the style, you know, nothing like extraordinary. This was actually the video that we just played, promotional video, and told about the service schedule and the promotions and so forth. Another interesting thing that we did that worked well for us, we actually wanted to advertise on city buses. Antelope Valley buses are all over the place, Antelope Valley Transit Authority. And I was actually surprised and annoyed and a little bit frustrated that they would not let us advertise. They do not let... talk about the world we live in and their attitude towards Christianity. Here was they sent us the list of things that aren't allowed on the buses, and it was like pornography, nudity, drugs, religion, you know, all of the terrible things affecting culture today were that. So this is what we did instead. We have all these college vans that go around campus our valley, because they drop off college students to work and they shuttle them. We were in a meeting and I said, no, anybody that goes anywhere in the Antelope Valley, every time I drive anywhere, I see a college van. So we wrap those things with the brand of Easter. And the point was, you get your people excited about it. You create this, all these pieces, a brochure, a flyer, something, and you can create this kind of feeling in your community, like, wow, something big is happening, and you know, they get one on their door, and we had this happen. We had it happen dozens of times. Somebody got one on their door. Somebody else got one, got a flyer at work. They saw a van. They saw it in the commercial on the TV, TV commercial, and they came a lot and. Dozens and dozens of them got accepted Christ. So, those are just some things that we did. Let me see if I have anything else in here. That's yes.
If you were gonna put something on the bus, what were you gonna put on there?
That. We were gonna run. Yeah, that's what we were gonna run. Okay. And they weren't having any of that. I'll open it up. Yep.
Do you know how much that
wrapped? Okay, that's a good question. These were. I want to say they were like $150 a piece or something like that for somebody to do it, which is, yeah, it was, I mean, it was a lot less than advertising on the bus. Yeah, because then we were just basically producing the material and putting it on, and that was like a temporary thing that they print, and then you peel it off when your event's over. Yes?
Where did you go for that and then the magic bumper stickers? Because we've been looking for magic bumper stickers.
Okay. This one's easier. This is George Dickerson. He actually has a display on the second floor of the West Wing. It's right at the top as you head into the West Wing, and he did those for us. The bumper stickers. I think we just found a place online. I'm sorry, I don't know off the top of my head, but I know that they were relatively inexpensive, and we just. I think we put them in the bulletin once and then and handed them out once or twice in the evening service. Yes?
The wrapping thing, not being able to do that in, on the buses, is that just a California thing? Or was that a thing?
No, that was the rules of the Antelope Valley Transit Authority. So that's just the buses that are here locally. So, I mean,
so it might be looking into your local area.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes?
Do you have an over, like a beginning budget of how much to spend on all the different advertising? And be up to different?
I did. Basically, it doesn't always work this way, but the way it worked this time, because we came at it rather than going, let me back up. Sometimes we go, okay, we want to make an impact with this, and we have $5,000. How should we spend it? This time they said, we want to do these things, and we want to, what else can we think of to do? And I came back to them, and I go, okay, you know, this is what it's going to cost. To do, and I want to say we spent in total maybe $15,000 on average. That would not include the printing of the brochures, and I don't recall off the top of my head what that one would be. As we printed, I think 200,000 of those and distributed them, I don't know that one, but would include the television. We did some advertising online, like through Facebook, the van wraps and the theaters and the television, all that stuff was right around $12,000 to $15,000.
Spend any money on like Facebook boost posting?
We actually contracted out to an online advertising agency that has helped us. And they did, it was primarily Facebook, but they also did Google search. I'll give you the name, and I should have brought them. It's Hibu.com, Hibu.com. They're an advertising place that did social and online. So they did search marketing and Google display ads and Facebook. And they took, they took our consistent branding, linked it to our webpage and so forth. With Hibu,
yeah.
There's different packages. We actually signed up for a 6-month thing because we had some other stuff that we wanted to advertise after Easter, so we packaged that. But you can just do a kind of, I think they'll let you do just, you know, a 1-month run or something like that. Anybody else? Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we shot.
Oh, you did. Okay.
We did. Those were part of our Easter productions, and we've produced two, "O Glorious Day" and "Jesus Saves." They're available for sale at Striving Together, and we're going to cover that in a lot of video content in the next class in here. So yeah, we shot that stuff. Yeah, we shot and edited that.
When you say available for sale, would they be available for us to use for same type of things?
Mm-hmm.
Clips?
Yeah, we actually had probably 24 churches do Glorious Day this past Easter as well. Same program, same videos, same message.
Like stock footage for promotional.
I don't know. That would be a Striving Together question. But I would think if you have it, yeah, you could use it for stock. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. If you get the package, a lot of that stuff comes with it. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so you can use those. You probably can't like sell them on iStock or whatever.
We have someone to answer to.
Yeah. Anybody else? Question? We got through that relatively quickly.
Is there any other promotional type things that you do
The reason I picked Easter is it's like the one thing that we did, everything that we could think of. I'll show you one of the people. We did these, which is more about the event. We did these, Easter egg hunt services at parks, because we wanted to have a big day on our bus ministry and here, and we're trying to work out the logistics of how do you do that with limited space and time. And so, actually, Brother Jacob Bundy was in here. Where's he? Hey, Brother Bundy, how are you? He oversaw all the parks, and so we did this card for them that had they had, how many parks did you guys have?
12.
Yeah, I had 12 parks that people came to. So, and this is where we did this thing called the hunt, which borrows the same kind of color scheme and feel, but it doesn't have the exact same branding. So it's associated, but it's different enough that people know that it's something different. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
versus
probably.
Versus just let's put all of our eggs into the outreach and just tell our church members, hey, guys, can you show up?
Yeah, no. We definitely put a lot of stuff because we really needed to communicate to the church family because this was totally new. If it's, we wouldn't have done as much in-reach promotion for Christmas because it's something that we've done every year. You have new people and you always got to say what's going on, but this one we're like, okay, listen up, everybody. We're doing something new. This is different. Try to pay attention, you know. And people really loved it, and we had a tremendous response from it. Yes, sir.
How many websites do you have, and how do you keep track of them all statistically, et cetera?
Okay, we have probably 10 to 12 like main websites, and how do we keep track of them? Joe back there behind you, he keeps track of all of them. Joe's on our team. We have a team of people.
What I want to know is, like, how many people come as a result of your website? Are you able to tell that?
I think it's really hard to nail that, to narrow that, because in most cases, they got a flyer on the door. Somebody invited them. They checked it out online, and then they heard about it on TV, and then they came. Did they come because of the website? Maybe. Did the website stop them from coming? No. Well, that's a win. Did it give them the correct information? So, I've had that question before, and it's a little hard to kind of nail down causation for those visits, but we definitely saw a significant uptick in traffic to the site during that Easter promotion. So that was, the only thing to account for it was people visiting because they got a flyer or saw it on TV or whatever else. Yes. Yeah, I've read statistics that I forget, like 70% of the people who visit will come and will check your website out first, and 80% of statistics are made up. So I don't know how reliable that is. Yes.
Can I take a picture of that card? The hunt card.
The hunt card. Yes, ma'am. Please. Here you go. I meant to have a whole package of that, and I just didn't have enough leftovers of those. Yes.
Was there any remaining glue or anything left over from the decal on the van?
No. There's no glue on it. Here, I'll let you. There's no glue on it. It's just held on by magic powers. There's nothing sticky on there.
With the van.
I don't know. I'm not in charge of the vans. Jacob, was there anything left on the vans after? Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't hear back.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. The college students were heavily involved in the stuff, the hunt, and that's That gets more into the actual the event itself, but that was kind of I think their major role was the bus emphasis and helping those. You know, we have students in the choir and the orchestra and other parts, but the main body of work was done with us college students in the Hunt. Thanks. Yes.
Uh huh.
Okay, here's we didn't. Here's the trick that we used, okay? We took their picture, and we got their email, and we told them that we would email it to them, which we did, which, number one, that gives us their email address that should be valid. Then, number two, we said that we would give them a printed 8x10, and they could pick it up the following Sunday at guest services. Yeah. I think that was Brother Rule's idea, so I'm not taking credit for that. Yes, ma'am.
And then how else did you like?
You know, honestly, on that one, I'm not sure. I think we probably printed it like Costco or one of those places. So there would have been a few hundred of them. I'm sorry?
How many visitors did you have on Easter?
Several hundred. I want to say. We had over 10,000 for the first time in attendance over those weekend. So multiple hundreds, and I don't want to pull out a number off the top of my head that I'm not sure of, but it was hundreds. So it was a very successful event, and branding and promoting the event obviously is a small part of that, but it's definitely a part of it, you know. Yes. Yeah, we had down here on the field Easter egg hunt and family pictures like partway down, and we invited people to kind of hang out and go down there and stuff. Yes, sir.
Do you know like roughly how many people came this Sunday and picked up their photographs?
I don't. Gabriel would know. Yeah.
For the family picture, did you green screen and put your own backgrounds in?
No, we just picked spots on the campus that were conducive to photos. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Striving Together Store will help you with that. Yes, ma'am. Yep, for sure. Okay.
Do you think the family photos, in your opinion, was a big draw for the attendance to boost the visitors?
You know, I think it drew some people. I mean, the people that I interviewed for the Goss family that came, and you heard their testimony the last two nights, they came to Easter. Because they got flyer on the door, they got their family photo taken, they got saved and baptized and started discipleship and all of that. So as I was flipping through stuff, I happened to see their photo. So, I mean, work for, you know, if that was one family, that's worth it for us.